This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by Digital Media.
On this week's episode, we have a number of really interesting quick hits to get to. We're also going to do the inaugural Trump administration update. How about that shit, Joey?
Incredible episode, and I give a presentation on Facebook news.
Stick around.
Very serious.
This is the Mandatory Samson Podcast, coming to you from Stand Up New York Labs, New York City. Hello, my name is Chris Lattery. I'm joined by Joseph Noe. Hi, Joey.
Hi, Chris.
I'm also joined by Sweet Matt over there, who I've got eating the mic today.
Hello, Chris. I'm trying to get better at this whole eating the mic thing.
Yeah. People are going to notice a difference immediately. You sound way more bassy. You sound good.
A nice deep voice.
There you go.
Sultry.
Welcome to the program, everyone. What are we doing today? Well, I'll tell you what. We got some quick hits off the top of the show. We're also going to talk climate change and Dakota Access Pipeline. Ray Tensing and Samuel DeBose is a case we talked about, I guess, in July.
Yeah, it's gone back a little bit.
Yeah, we had a verdict, or not exactly a verdict, but something happened in that case that we're going to get into a little bit later in the program. We're also going to talk ISIS and Mosul, and the desire to say ISIL and Moses is in my brain. It's just so confused. We're going to talk about that a little later in the program. We've got an update on what's going on. They are not a good update, I would say. And we're also, Joey, this is very exciting, and Matt, our first Trump administration update.
Woo-hoo. Dun, dun, dun.
That's probably the right sound, yeah. Let me say this. Joey, you did some research additionally on Facebook and the whole news feed situation.
Fake news, guys. It was a huge issue this election, and we're going to dive into it a little bit.
Yeah, well, no, you were going to dive into it a lot.
Okay, super a lot.
Yeah, because I sent it to you, 4 days ago? And I was like, hey, Joey, this is your homework.
Yes.
And I'm assuming you did your homework.
Yes, I did.
All right. We're not going to get into it like ridiculous. You know, we're going to cover it like we normally do, but it's something I want to talk about.
There's a lot in it, though.
Yeah, well, we're gonna break it down. I also want to say this. So this is episode 105.
Mm-hmm.
106 will not be happening next week because it's Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving Aww. Falls on a Thursday. We record on a Thursday. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to release an episode on a Friday because none of you are going to listen. So I'm sure you guys would. The Samsonites are very loyal, but you understand. I got to take a break. But here's what we are going to do, because we got a ton of emails this week. And let me tell you this, people that sent the emails, Carl, Paul, Megan, April, George, David, Jeffrey.
That's a feast.
It's a lot. And we got two on this episode that we're going to get to because they're quick. Those seven other emails, or five, whatever. Yeah, no, seven other emails. We're going to answer them in a bonus episode that we're going to do like next Saturday.
Nice.
As opposed to recording on Thursday, Thanksgiving, releasing an episode on Friday. We're going to do just a bonus episode. It's going to be called MSP 105.5. That's how you'll know. And it'll just be emails. We're going to answer the emails because some of them are long. I think they're good emails and worth getting into. But I had a very busy week. I did not have time to answer them. I apologize for that. But 100%, we're going to read them on that bonus episode 105.5. And so there you go. You'll get your answer. I'll probably go back and just let you know that I got your email. But listen, you're listening right now, everybody that emailed me. So you're hearing what I'm saying.
And you got the shout outs.
You got the shout outs, and I think that'll be fun, right? We'll get together. Yeah. I'm going to bring the little recorder home. We'll have two microphones. We'll you know, take our pants off, hang out, and you know, record an episode together.
You didn't have to add about the pants being off. Nobody has to
Everybody
know about
knows
that.
That's happening. That's how we do it.
It was assumed.
Yeah, we're all bottomless right now. All right.
Pants are so uncomfortable.
I don't like them. All right. You ready to get into some shit here, Joey?
Yes, I am.
Because I said to you when I came in, it's like it's been a long week. I actually had quite a bit going on early day today. I put this rundown together on Tuesday night. I've added a little bit to it since then, but I was like, what do we got here, Joey? Good episode?
Great episode.
Yeah, Joey feels like we had a jam-packed rundown, so we're going to do it.
Just alone, I'm pretty sure we could talk about 25 minutes with Donald Trump being in control of drones. Still scares the shit out of me.
Yeah, well, absolutely. That should definitely be something we should be concerned about, but it also speaks to you know, why I didn't support Obama in the second term that he ran. Because he expanded the drone program. He expanded domestic spying. And now you might trust Barack Obama. God knows I trust him more than I trust Trump. But he's handing off that whole program, that whole, you know, apparatus to Trump. And now he's the guy in control. And that's why you have to be very careful about the powers that you allow the guy you support to have, because eventually somebody you don't support is going to get in there and they're going to have full control of that stuff. And that's real. That's why you have to hold the person you vote for especially accountable, right?
Yeah, he's going to be held accountable to the higher standard. Trust me.
Yeah.
We're going to get him on this.
Yeah, I don't know about that. By the way, let me say this. Polar Seltzer, tart, cherry, and lime. It's a wonderful winter flavor. Somebody sent me a tweet. Somebody sent me a tweet the other day saying they picked up some Polar Seltzer Ruby Red Grapefruit or whatever. Good, it's a nice flavor, and they were saying taking a page out of Man Sam's book. Good move.
Nice. Now, see, we're gonna dive into this Facebook newsfeed thing.
We're not doing that first.
Okay, that's fine. So I'm just gonna throw that out there. It's gonna be awkward for me to try and explain this to you when you don't even have a Facebook.
Well, I don't have a Facebook. I deleted my Facebook probably 4 years
ago. It's been that long?
Well, it has to be, yeah. Of course. Okay, I'll be able to fucking figure it out. I know what Facebook is. We'll talk about it. Look, you'll talk to me like I talk to you. Like, I know absolutely nothing.
Wow, Jesus Christ.
Oh, God, I'm good.
We haven't even been 7 minutes in, and you just let me up.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I did. I let you up like the 4th of July. All right, you ready to get into it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Chelsea Manning has petitioned President Obama to reduce the remainder of her 35-year sentence to the 6+ years she's already served. So she's, you know, been sentenced to 35 years in military prison. She served about 6.5 years, not counting the year or two before she actually was charged with anything. She was in detention. She's asking for, you know, for her sentence to just be reduced to whatever amount of time she's already served, then she'll get out. And I have a partial statement in the email, which I can read right now. I skipped those emails, so we're going to do that in a second. But Chelsea Manning said, "I am not asking for a pardon of my conviction. I understand that the various collateral consequences of the court-martial conviction will stay on my record forever. The sole relief I am asking for is to be released from military prison after serving 6 years of confinement as a person who did not intend to harm the interests of the United States or harm any service members." First of all, this is her only chance. Mm-hmm. You know, Obama's going to be the last shot she has, really, because it's going to be out of the consciousness, as though it's not already pretty much out of the consciousness. But, you know, Trump isn't going to do anything to help her. It's, I guess, the only thing she can do is say, like, you know, I take full responsibility for it, all that stuff. She did the right thing. And this is somebody that should be, you know, held up as somebody that did the absolute right thing when we talked about it last week. Do the right thing when no one's looking. That's what she did. She tried to take this information, the collateral murder stuff, what we were doing in Iraq. She tried to take it up the chain of command. They shot her down. And so she took matters into her own hand by releasing the information to WikiLeaks, who then put it out there. This is a person that should be, you know, treated with mercy. She's tried to commit suicide twice that we know of. And I think it's criminal that she remains in jail when, you know, something we're going to talk about later, a guy like David Petraeus is out and potentially going to be Secretary of State under Donald Trump when he released classified military information to a biographer, to a journalist. Mm-hmm. This person's Chelsea Manning is trying to educate the public and do what's right based on her own conscience. And if you watch the collateral murder video, which I've talked about a number of times, it's extremely impactful and something that really helped me form my view of military intervention and, you know, drone program and missile strikes and all this stuff. You know, we have Chelsea Manning to thank, and we do have Julian Assange to thank for that as well, for putting the information out. Now, any thoughts on that, Jay?
Yeah. The petition was not the only thing there. There was also letters of support from various people. One such person is Daniel Ellsberg, who is famous. What?
Daniel Ellsberg.
Oh, Ellsberg. Thank you. Yeah. Who is famous for leaking classified
the
history.
Pentagon papers.
Pentagon papers.
Right.
Thank you for stepping on me on that one. Thank you.
Sorry.
So here's a quote from Mr. Ellsberg.
Wow.
"I believe now, in the 6.5 weeks we have remaining, was all have to ask President Obama to do with his powers good things before he leaves, before a new president comes in, and I really believe that he should commune Chelsea Manning's sentence to time served.
Yeah, well, that's good. I mean, that's powerful. I think he's spoken out in favor of Snowden and yes. different people because he is, you know, one of the, maybe the most famous whistleblower, I think, that would come to mind, to having to do with Vietnam and all that stuff. You were going to say something, Matt, I felt like?
No, I mean, I'm not just thinking about whether the most famous. I think, like, at recency bias, I certainly think Snowden is.
Oh, yeah, I mean, Snowden. Well, because Snowden's maintained, you know, a presence, I think,
and, like,
afterward.
And Ellsberg never had the, like, got kicked out of the country or just, like, had
no,
to
yeah, but
country,
you know what I mean? But it's, yeah. like, the person that kind of put the idea of whistleblower, like, into the consciousness, I guess, but, you know.
And we all love when celebrities speak up, so there's been two lead singers of two groups.
Okay.
The first
group, better be very careful with whoever these two groups are. Go
ahead. R.E.M. A lot of people like
Michael
them.
Michael Stipe.
Yes.
We're really in the spotlight nowadays.
And Sonic Youth.
Okay. And they spoke out. Well, that's good.
Yes.
No, I mean, they're
and
doing the right thing.
Yeah, both of them have made videos showing support of Chelsea Manning.
Good. Yeah, I mean, it should be somebody that we don't forget about because she's extremely impactful. And even if she's not impactful, I think you have to respect that she did the right thing. And not a lot of people, I have to believe, would do what she did. Look at how much she suffered because of doing the right thing. You know, there's very few people that, not very few, I mean, you don't know what you're going to do until you're in that situation, but... You know, think about how many other people were in that situation where they knew what was going on. They didn't speak out against it.
Yeah.
Good.
Well, when I think about the whistleblowers, like, part of being a martyr is that you are going to suffer. Like, they know the punishment for their crimes when they do it. I'm not saying it's right that these are the punishments.
Yeah, but the rest of us should stand up for
them.
That's the thing. You know, that's our job.
Like, you have to expect, you have to expect this is going to happen if you come out and do this. And there is a price to pay. It's like, if anyone can just release anything they wanted, then...
Well, they can. There's protect. That's the thing. There are laws protecting whistleblowers. Again, there's another Obama thing. He's been very harsh on whistleblowers. He hasn't helped Snowden. He hasn't helped Chelsea Manning at all. He's been Assange. He's not interested in that. They've cracked down on that, which is something that another promise that he broke. By the way, I'd take Obama back in 3 seconds. Okay. Now, we'll get on to the next thing in a minute, but I skipped the emails.
Yeah,
let me read these emails really
quick.
Yeah, I didn't mean to go over them. We've got an email from Jordan. He says, "Dear Man Samp and podcast crew," I'm assuming that's you, Matt. "I'm going to provide the caveat that I did not vote for either candidate, and I live in Ohio. I initially thought that the Electoral College was dumb and that the election should be dictated by popular vote. I did come across an article on USA Today that gives an interesting perspective to the Electoral College. I thought that I would share and see what your thoughts were." Now, there's a link. I took a piece of the article that I'll read, which is sort of like the, you know, the main crux of it, and we'll talk about it. "I've been listening since early summer, and you guys do a great job in highlighting stories and events that did not get enough media attention. I would consider myself fairly centrally minded politically with a slight lean in the conservative direction, so I don't always agree with everything you say, but it is nice to hear a different view and a different perspective on things. Great work, you guys. P.S. I did come from the TFM/JTrain podcast, so small shout out there." Very good.
Now, I just want to say thank you for the email.
Yeah.
Also, I want you to just pay close attention to what he said to opposing view. Remember that when we go into the Facebook situation, okay?
Okay, yeah, we'll put a little dog ear on it.
Yes.
This is from the article. "If the electoral," because this is like an opinion piece sort of from you know, USA Today. "If the national popular vote were the ultimate decider, candidates would gravitate toward the voter-rich big cities and their suburbs and ignore everyone else. If candidates felt obliged to blanket the entire country with visits and advertising, it would set off a scramble." Wait, that's not right. "If candidates felt obliged to blanket the entire country with visits and advertising, it would set off a scramble for even more campaign money, leaving candidates more beholden to special interests. A popular vote contest involving multiple candidates could produce a winner with, say, only 35% of the vote, provoking an outcry to create a runoff process involving the top two vote-getters. And if the U.S. popular vote were so close that a nationwide recount were needed, the process could turn into a nightmare dwarfing the Florida fiasco of 2000. Number one, might be a controversial position. The California, New York, Texas, whatever, we should skew more towards them. They're the biggest states. There's the most people there. They influence the most things in the country. I apologize to South Dakota, but I don't think that South Dakota, you know what I mean? Like, that's the point of the Electoral College, is to weight it more for states that have less population, so that way they get kind of an equal say. But I got to be honest with you. I didn't like that Wisconsin was the state deciding what happened in this election. I didn't. There's less people there. I have less in common with them. Well, I'd rather my state be the state that decides it.
Well, like, also, the amount of population that actually lives in the big cities is a very small percent of the population. Like, you have 8 million people in New York itself.
Right.
Like, and of course, you have, like, there's more in the greater New York area. But then, as soon as you get past, like, the top 10 cities, you maybe have, like, 10% of the population in a few of the cities, but you can't win it just on the big cities.
No, you really have to.
You really have to get out there. It's like, you cannot win just on the big cities.
Right.
That's impossible.
And I don't really envision it changing things that much. Like, I get it. Yeah, maybe they wouldn't go. Hillary didn't even go fucking campaign in Wisconsin, and that was the thing that decided the election.
I mean, she fucked up.
But she got more people, so that's the whole point. And I don't have a problem necessarily with the most people deciding things. I don't know what happened in America where all of a sudden a majority doesn't rule. The Senate, 60 votes. You can't get anything done with less than 60 votes because of the filibuster. You can't win the country. You can't win the election by just having more people, even though she had a million more people vote for her. And people go, well, it's just because of California. Yeah, there's a lot of people in California. They supported her.
Yeah.
So they like her policies. All right. And also, as far as like the runoff thing, yeah, we still have that situation now. It would just be, you know, it's like we still deal with that. Beyond that, the 35% of the vote thing, I'm okay with somebody getting, like, whoever gets the most should win. It's okay if it's only 35%, because then maybe it would enable you to have way more parties and they'd have the consensus build. That's how it works around the rest of the world.
Or you finally give everyone a holiday and have more people be able to vote.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I wanted to mention that last week and we forgot. This is my plan.
Your plan. All right,
this is what I'm running on. Saturday.
For 2020?
Yeah. Okay. Well, 2040, whatever.
Okay.
Saturday, Sunday, Monday, holiday. Those are the 3 days you can vote. You vote for 3 straight days.
Oh, you get 3 days of voting.
Yep.
You have 72 hours to cast a vote.
Yes. Because people, you know, have said that a one-day holiday is not going to be good enough because people that have, you know, set schedules or they're working minimum wage jobs, they don't have the luxury to just be like, well, I'm taking off Friday to go vote for 5 hours. Give it three. Here's your 3 days or whatever. You don't even do it Saturday. You do Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Yeah. America votes, 3 day holiday.
I like it.
You don't want to vote? Go get stoned. You want to vote? Go vote. But right. It's why are we making it harder to vote? It should be way easier or whatever. Make it a 4 day thing. You know what I mean?
We're making it harder to vote because
Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and then Wednesday you go back to work. Perfect. Because even if your guy Hillary lost, all right, at least we're off on Tuesday.
Yeah.
You know, at least we had a nice, you know, 4 day vacation.
We're making it harder to vote because one of the parties actually wants fewer voters.
Oh, 100%. Like, well, which one, Matt?
I wonder.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, that argument, it's always funny because conservatives will go, well, the only reason Democrats want these goddamn Mexicans coming in is so they can vote for them. Well, maybe. But the only reason you don't want them coming in is because they won't vote for you. So it's two sides of the same coin. You know what I mean? And also, well, whatever. We don't have to get into the whole thing, but you're right.
I wasn't trying to bring up an immigration debate there.
The less people vote, the more likely it is for Republicans to win.
Yes.
You know? I was more talking about the active voter suppression against minorities who aren't here legally.
100%. Voter Rights Act, all that stuff. Absolutely. We talked about it last week. Mm-hmm. That could have swayed the election very easily. You could see how that would have affected it.
There were a lot of factors in this election.
And who's talking about that? Where are these fucking liberals out there talking about that?
They're licking their wounds right now.
They're not licking their wounds. They're pointing the finger. They're going, well, you know, they're blaming each other. They're blaming... Well, I guess the country's just fucking racist. Yeah. Or, okay, fine, but let's start doing something to change that now. You have 4 years. The clock is ticking. Overturn Citizens United. Put these protections back in place so you get more people to go out and vote. This is the shit that you can actually do. That's what you should be worried about. Not, you know, some of this other shit, this social stuff that they're talking about. Not that it's not important. Of course, gay people, trans people, all this stuff. Black Lives Matter, immigration, all these things are important, but it ends up taking focus away from actually correcting certain things that could affect the outcome of an election, you know?
I wanted to bring up something, and I don't know if you've seen it. I think we might have touched on it for like 3 seconds last week. The safety pin.
I'm sorry, I was drinking, yeah.
Yes. Okay. So I, you know, coming
I
to
like
the...
that you waited. You're a very polite boy.
Yes. So I was coming to New York City to do the podcast, and I was trying to take a look to see if anyone had safety pins on.
Yes.
I did not see a single person with safety pins.
I haven't seen any either.
But it seems like on Facebook,
explain the significance of the safety pin.
Well, someone decided that a safety pin denotes that as an individual, you are safe in towards homosexuals, transsexuals, minorities, whatever. Some people might be violent against that. You are a safe space.
You know what I would do? If I was somebody that hated gay people, I'd wear one and then trick them.
Oh, that's good. No, trickery is always
how devious
good.
Of you. How devious.
Tricking Chris. Yeah, tricking Chris. Me.
No, yeah. I mean, look, you want to wear the pin, wear the pin. I think that's fine. I think there are people that are legitimately scared. You know, it's not going to be as. We don't know, but it seems like there's going to quite a few groups that are going to be facing it at the very, to put it the least, you know, scary way. They're going to be facing some changes probably mm-hmm. as things go forward here. So yeah, I mean, look, if you want to show your support and wear the pin, that's fine. Again, I think it's.
Is it misplaced?
Well, it's, I don't want it to sound like I don't think that those issues are important. I do. I think they're important. I think they're a big part of the Democratic platform. But
we're past these issues.
But we're not past them. They're going to take care of themselves, because I think I do believe the majority of the country is on the right side of these things. And I think you can see things change very quickly. Again, Obama ran on, I don't support gay marriage. Guess what's legal now?
Gay marriage.
And guess who supports it? Obama. This stuff kind of takes on a life of its own, and I think it does distract from the main problem. The main problem is money and politics, period. That's what we need to be focused on. There's clear-cut steps that are very difficult to take to overturn Citizens United, to get to a publicly financed election system. Where's everybody talking about voting rights? Where's people talking about
the voting machines?
The voting machines. Where's people talking?
Nobody.
Where's people talking about changing the Democratic? What about superdelegates? Remember that whole thing?
Yeah.
Why aren't you wearing a pin for superdelegates to get rid of that system? We probably would have won the election if Bernie got elected. And you think Bernie doesn't? He's not a pin wearer. You know what I mean? He's safe. So I get it. You know, it's a movement. It is a feel good thing. But it shouldn't. It can't be the main focus. We know that you support that. Hillary did it. That was a big, not a mistake, but if you're going to point to like a strategic error, maybe spend less time talking to the base of people that you know already support you. They know you already support them.
So reach out to the ones that you need to reach out to.
Yeah, you have a lot of surrogates out there. Lena Dunham, Amy Schumer, all the... a billion different celebrities.
But it's preaching
there.
To the choir.
Let
it's
them
the wrong
preach
audience.
To the choir. America Ferrera. Go. You talk to them. You be the outreach. Hillary should have had her ass up in fucking cheese country at a Packers game or something. You understand what I'm saying? It doesn't mean you forget about it, but it means we already have that in the bag. Well, you're not convincing anybody on the other side that that's the right way to go.
I'm still not entirely sure that's true. One of the Democrats' problem is like you always need to, a Democrat needs to get the vote out. And like if you don't fire up your base, the less likely to get the vote.
Are you? You're telling me that the gay community wasn't fucking fired up for Hillary Clinton?
I think they were more afraid of Trump than they were fired up for Hillary.
Same diff. They had no business voting for Trump. None.
But I heard so many people who like in reality should not be voting for Trump who just like wouldn't vote and just
a lot of who I'm saying people you know, but I'm not saying the gay community. And I'm saying the gay community, but it's like the trans community, the blah blah blah. That's what the safety pin is for all of these different groups. They know where to go. You're not going to vote for Trump, and they know that people that support Hillary or the majority of people in liberal area, you're supported. You of course you should be. I'm not dismissing that, but there has to be an order of priority. Mm-hmm. And you know what? She didn't make a priority. Dumb white women from the middle of the country, and that she lost with that. She didn't make voting rights a priority. You let down another group that I think is encompassed in the safety pin. You let down minority groups. Yeah. You let down the black community. 80,000 people. We talked about it. 13% down.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Where you have to go help them? Go do something. That's a strategic thing where she always used to say, "I'm a progressive that likes to get things done." Well, get that done then. That should have been a focus of yours.
Yeah.
The feel-good stuff is that. It's feel-good, and it is good for people that have been, you know, marginalized and feel bad. But you have them already. This isn't governing. This is an election. You need to go... you have to go get people that aren't normally going to vote for you or might not come out or whatever it is. You know, that's a strategic mistake.
You want to know something?
But it's not the fault of people wearing the safety pin. You want to wear the safety pin. That's fine. I get it. It's a nice gesture.
You're absolutely right. If Hillary Clinton caught Aaron Rodgers playing a football game with a family. It makes her look human. Looks like you can relate.
Well, people got mad at her when she said she was rooting for both the Mets and Yankees. Remember, it's like she doesn't know what the fuck's going on. My point, I was, you know, but yeah, go to Wisconsin. Go there. Talk to those people. I guarantee their main issue is not, you know, what bathroom people piss in. That's not. And again, that I'm saying it dismissively, but I don't mean it that way. I think you should be able to, we should just have one, we've talked, whatever, we're not going to get into the whole thing, but I support these rights. I think it's fine. I have no problem with people expressing themselves and doing, you know, what makes them feel good. No question about it. You shouldn't be hassled or harassed or anything. You should be treated just the way everybody else is treated, with respect and everything. Those are not the people that she needed to get to vote for her. She had them already. That's what's frustrating. That's what what's frustrating when I see that as the reaction. Fine, I get it. But you're still just not doing the right. You're not doing the right thing. You're not reacting to this Trump election correctly. You're just not. There's actual structural things that you could change. Change those. That should be the focus. Wear a rainbow flag while you're doing it. But come on, we've got to make these changes. That's how it's going to happen, because you're just endangering these groups anyway by not getting elected. You know what I mean? So you're kind of working across purposes. But if Hillary gets elected and doesn't spend the entirety of the campaign talking to these groups, it's okay, because she's still going to be the one that's in power. That's who you want in power, not Trump or Pence, really. Trump doesn't even strike me as, I don't know, but Pence, obviously.
Pence is going to be the
people that are around him. Those are the people you got to worry about. Makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, whatever. If you guys have a comment about that, go to soundcloud.com/mandatorySamson. Leave a comment on the track. You can send us an email, mandatorySamson@gmail.com. You might end up on MSP 105.5 emails.
Speaking about emails, you want to do the second one?
Yeah. This is from Bryce. He says, hey, Chris and Joey, unfortunately, I'm a few weeks behind. Oh, come on, man.
Some of them have been long, Chris.
I understand. I'm just joking. Unfortunately, I'm a few weeks behind on the pod, and I just finished 103. Oh, he's not that far behind. You did a voice for the woman that was arrested in Iowa for casting extra votes. After going to college there and suffering in the state for 4 years, never go to Iowa unless you need a pig and corn, because there is nothing else there, says Bryce. I feel obligated to let you know there is more Minnesota in the Iowa accent than the southern drawl you performed. Since you're from the coast and probably have no idea what someone from Minnesota sounds like, they sound like Canadians. I do know what Minnesotans sound like. So if you ever need to do another Iowa accent, channel your inner Canadian and Joni Ernst, insert plastic bread bag. Plastic bread bag.
That is a awesome great soundboard. Callback. Thank you.
That is great. Keep up the awesome job, guys. Been a listener since MSP1. Well, we really appreciate it.
Say that again. That makes me feel good.
He's been a listener since MSP1.
Incredible. Thank you for sticking with us.
I'm from Iowa, Minnesota. That's pretty good, right? I'm a Trump voter.
I don't know anyone.
Hillary didn't come and visit me. I don't know.
That's got a little bit more Canadian.
I'm voting for Trump twice. There's voter fraud. All right. I'll work on it. Thank you, Bryce. I appreciate it. I will give it a... I'll work on it. All right. Next thing we got here, Julian Assange, or as I like to call him, Julian Assange. On Monday, WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange was questioned for the first time by Swedish chief prosecutor Ingrid Iskren over the 2010 rape allegations that he's facing. I do have a quote in the email. The process by which this worked is that Sweden was, I believe, there, like in the embassy, in the Ecuadorian embassy, with Assange. They weren't allowed to directly ask Assange questions. They submitted questions to the Ecuadorian prosecutor, who was also there. He directed the questions at Assange, and then the Swedish prosecutor could ask for, like, clarification on some of his answers, but they had to, like, pre-submit the questions. The point being, this is a step forward, because now they take the they'll make a recommendation about whether to drop the charges or not. Whatever. We'll see, but at least there's some kind of movement here, in the Assange case.
The only thing I found interesting with this story is the fact that Assange's lawyer, Poul Samuelsson, was not allowed to be at the interview.
Yes.
Why? Well, why not? Let's, you know.
I don't know, because that's the way that they had it done. I mean, I don't know. It's a complicated case. Obviously, you'd probably rather his lawyer be there, but let him get interviewed.
Yeah.
It's been, 6 years now.
Are you not an expert on Swedish or Ecuadorian law?
No.
Oh, come on, Chris.
Unfortunately, I'm not. So this is a quote. After the report, the Swedish prosecutor will take a view. Oh, yeah, we'll continue on the investigation, so we'll see what happens there. Anyways, ready to move on to the next. This is climate change. God help us all. Climate change is going to be a big problem under this Trump administration.
It's just the Chinese hoax, Chris.
The China, you know how stupid things are getting? The Chinese came out and they were like, not a hoax.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, the Chinese came out and were like, it's not a Chinese hoax. We know, we're Chinese.
Yeah.
Seriously, with everything going on in the world, a country actually has to defend itself in the public arena by actually acknowledging the fact that it's not a hoax.
China, the world's biggest
communist China
polluter, was like, no, it's not a, it's real. It's a real, like, we are actually going to try to cut emissions. We swear to God.
I mean, China,
it's not a trick. We're not trying to play a trick on you.
The thing about China is they believe in science. They believe, they like all the science.
Oh, absolutely.
They just won, they missed out on the Industrial Revolution, and they're catching up and they're getting there. Now they're like, okay, we can start to ease off the pollution.
Yeah, well, you could swim in the air in China. It's so polluted, but it's okay. But yeah, it's not, they're not trying to trick you. It's a trick. The Chinese are tricking me, and I'm not going to fall for it, Ivanka. Get my coat. We're leaving. All right. According to the World Meteorological Organization, global temperature is 1.2 degrees Celsius or 34.16 degrees Fahrenheit above pre-industrial levels, setting a record for the third straight year.
Nice.
16 of the 17 hottest years on record are now in this century. 2000, 2001, blah, blah, blah.
That's progress. That's good.
Donald Trump is going to make America a record-breaking country again.
Yeah. Yeah. The Paris climate deal aims to keep the number, the over pre-industrial levels, to less, to 1.5 degrees Celsius or less. We're at 1.2 now, and it's rising every year. Trump wants to end that deal. Okay, so that's one way to not pass the level, just do away with the level. We're going to pretend it didn't go over because I don't know. We weren't trying to keep it below anything. This is a scary thing.
Yes.
This is something that we deserve to happen to us if this happens. Why isn't this a fucking, where's Hillary on this? Where's your fucking umbrella pin or something? Because this is going to be a nightmare.
Yeah, it is.
But I don't
there's
want
some
to,
good
no, wait,
news,
wait, wait,
though.
Wait.
There's some news about this.
No, but okay. I don't want it to seem like I'm yelling at gay people.
No,
or transgender.
No, no, no.
I'm really not. But you understand my point. It's like you're losing focus on social stuff, which is what we used to scream about conservatives doing with their abortion and gay, their anti-gay marriage and all that stuff. Okay, that stuff is going to just work its way out. And also, gay marriage is legal, according to the Supreme Court. So it is what it is.
But.
Yes.
The interesting thing is Trump cannot just tear up the agreement. I have a quote here from Wayne Peru Gatso, who's a professor of biological
I bet
oceanography.
Two of those were not his name. Because
it's okay.
Wayne Peru Gatso.
Even though the U.S. cannot formally leave the agreement in the next 4 years, not having the U.S. on board and pushing for full...
What was the word? But now that the U.S. can't in what in 4 years?
Cannot formally leave.
Formally leave, okay.
The agreement in the next 4 years, not having the U.S. on board and pushing for the full implementation of the Paris Agreement may well affect billions of people for hundreds of years.
Absolutely, and there's no mechanisms by which to enforce it. Remember that when we talked about it? There's nothing binding in the agreement. So we can even if he doesn't tear it up, we stay in the agreement. He just doesn't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no punishment. There's nothing...
I mean, any treaty requires the cooperation of the people who sign it, so. And, like, weren't they threatening to, like, oh, we should tax imports, whatever Sarkozy was saying, I think?
I don't know.
Like, tax American exports if they pull out of the agreement is what I read.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, but, okay, but we don't pull out of the agreement then. We just don't meet any of the benchmarks. I mean, that's what I'm saying. There's no enforcement.
Yeah.
I've got a quote here. This is from Michael Mann, who is a Penn State scientist. He says, it is almost as if I like this point. It is almost as if Mother Nature is making a statement. Just as one of the planet's two largest emitters of carbon has elected a climate change denier, Trump, who has threatened to pull out of the Paris Accord to the highest office, she reminds us that she has the final word. Climate change is not like the other issues that can be postponed from 1 year to the next. Excuse me. The U.S. and world are already behind. Speed is of the essence because climate change and its impacts are coming sooner and with greater ferocity than anticipated. Correct.
When we're doing all this protesting, we also have to continue to have climate change in the back of our minds.
Well, this should be in the front. This should be the rallying cry. if you don't believe this, if you don't think this is a real problem, get out the way, because you're missing the, like, really the biggest threat to everybody all over the world.
Planet for one, planet for all.
Yeah, absolutely. You're hoping that's gonna be the title, aren't
yes,
you?
Yes, I am.
Got write it there, write it down. Maybe it will be. Yeah, I get right. People are just out there protesting. I get it. There's fear, there's unease, but Trump is the president, so you can protest it all you want. He's gonna be. And yeah, this is something that you can actually make a difference on.
You want to know something else that comes to mind about Trump being president?
What?
The Dakota Access Pipeline.
Very good, Joey. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has completed its review of the Dakota Access Pipeline and is delaying completion after calling for, quote, additional discussion and analysis. Energy, listen to this, because we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but maybe it's slipped people's minds. Again, Hillary's the most corrupt person ever. Just a liar, just a corrupt liar. Energy Transfer Partners, the company building the pipeline, which President-elect Donald Trump is heavily invested in, saw its stock price rise more than 15% since Trump's election. It went from $33.37 a share to $38.68 a share.
Ooh, Daddy, why? Wish he had some money in that.
Yeah, well, Trump has like $1 million in that. He has $1 million in another company that has a stake in it. So, you know, Trump's heavily invested in this. But that's not a conflict of interest or anything. That's not corruption, right?
No, not at all.
It's weird. The guy that owns, I can't think of, Kelsey Warren, he's the guy that owns the Energy Transfer Partners. He donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to Trump and Republicans and all that stuff. Why? Weird. Not a conflict of interest, though?
Hillary, get the money out.
Hey, look, Hillary, you know, those emails, really bad. Even the Goldman Sachs shit, comparatively, it's not even that big a deal. I wanted to see the content of those speeches. Not that bad. That's exactly what I thought Hillary believed.
But this
why I didn't support her in the primary.
But this has a direct effect.
Of course. This.
Well, her shit doesn't really. It's just side noise.
Exactly. And that's probably why. Because it's this nebulous thing of like, well, she endangered national security. How did she prove how she did? You can't, because there's no direct correlation between what she did and anything else that happened. None. There will be a direct correlation when this shit spills all over the Midwest. Bernie Sanders was at the protests. Future generations will look back and say, what in God's name were you doing? Our job now is to break our dependency on fossil fuels. We have the fossil fuel industry pushing for more pipelines. For more dependency on fossil fuel is totally insane. So we say to President Obama, in any and every way you can, stop the pipeline. That was Bernie's quote. He was out there marching.
Stop the pipeline.
Yeah. You know where he was? He wasn't in Lower Manhattan protesting. He was fucking at the back in shale, whatever, protesting with the Native Americans and all this stuff.
Yes.
Another forgotten group. Kelsey Warren, the garbage CEO of Energy Transfer Partners, says Dakota Access Pipeline has waited long enough to complete this pipeline. Dakota Access Pipeline has been granted every permit, approval, certificate, and right-of-way needed for the pipeline's construction. It is time for the courts to end this political interference and remove whatever legal cloud that may exist over the right-of-way beneath federal land at Lake Oahe, I guess is how you pronounce it.
You know what that sounds like? Somebody who's 3 months behind on schedule.
Yeah, he's like, I want to cash in on this shit. Let's go. Get these goddamn featherheads out of the way, right? It's like, it's people's lives. It's their reservation. It's their cultural heritage.
He don't give a shit,
it's their
Chris.
Water. No, he doesn't give a shit. He doesn't give a shit about the environment. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. And it's very frustrating. And what's even more frustrating is that it doesn't seem like anybody really cares. Nobody's. No. Yes, there's protests. There have been protests now in different cities. That's where Bernie was. I believe in D.C. But there's ones in San Francisco, New York, you know, different places, Chicago. But yeah, what this is not something that's being talked about. No, we're going to talk about whether Jared Kushner gets top secret clearance at the White House. And let me tell you this, if he gets top secret clearance doesn't mean shit then. If they're willing to trust a guy that literally owns a newspaper to just get a top secret clearance, then what are you doing? Then all this shit is bullshit. The confidential, this, that. Snowden warned us.
Look.
They just slap names on things because they want to hide information. Because the more information they have that we don't, it's more power in their pocket.
The only thing everyone's concerned with is...
I'm riled up today, Jared.
...is the wallet. That's all anybody cares about is the goddamn wallet.
That's not all they care about. It's not all they care about. But people that don't have anything in their wallet, that's all they care about. it's a luxury, right? It's Maslow's hierarchy of needs or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like food, shelter. Then, oh, it's like, okay, now I have a roof over my head. I have food. I have clothes. Now I can start thinking about, you know, why I freeze up on an O2 breaking ball. You know, it's like I can start getting into my mentality about things, philosophy and all that stuff. But you're right. People that don't have
anything in their love, mind. Chris. You forgot love.
Love is a wasted emotion. I don't have it. Did I bring that up on the podcast about Trump with his kids and talking about his brother and his parents? When he got the nomination, he mentioned his dead brother, Fred. There was very little warmth in any of that. I know it's like anecdotal, but he goes, I'd love to thank my brother, Fred. Great guy. He died. Great guy. Really fun guy. Like,
you
know, what a weird way to say that.
Well, what the hell do you want him to say? I miss my brother Fred.
Yeah, I loved him. He was a great guy. Like, I loved him, maybe, or, you know, I don't know. It was just very cold. Like, my parents, good people. Like, it was just, it was very fantastic family. Love him. Like, it was very weird. He's just a weird dude. All right. Ready to get into this?
Yes.
Wait, what is this? Oh, yeah. I wrote that down. Okay. I already had that. We wrote the quotes. Ray Tensing, remember this guy? Former University of Cincinnati police officer Ray Tensing remains free on $1 million bond after an Ohio judge declared a mistrial in the case involving Tensing's alleged murder of 43-year-old Samuel DeBose in July 2015. Hamilton County prosecutor Joseph Dieters will have to decide whether to retry the case or not. A decision should come by the end of the month. The jury apparently was leaning yes on a manslaughter charge, no on a murder charge, but it ends up being a mistrial, and now we'll see if it goes back to trial. We just watched the video quickly just to refresh everybody's memory. This case
open very, shut.
Yeah, very clearly this officer did not have to shoot Samuel DeBose. Samuel DeBose at worst didn't have his license. Okay, you can watch the video. But he's like, my license? Like, I don't know. He's being a little evasive about that, but he's not doing it. He's not making any gestures, like he's threatening or whatever. Then the cop goes to open the door to his vehicle, which I don't know why. And DeBose like closes it. Like he tries to like hold it closed. Then he tries to like drive off and the cop shoots him. Boom, 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 point blank and murders him. Mistrial. So we'll see if he goes back on trial. But there's another... Not good timing for this. Obviously, it's never good timing, right. But for this thing to happen now, it's not
I have a single quote that sums up this entire mistrial.
Wow, okay.
By Troy Jackson.
Okay, that's executive
director.
Sounds right. Don't talk over me, Joey. When I'm trying to interject with some levity.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Of the Amos Project and Reverend, if 12 people in Hamilton County cannot come to an agreement on a murder charge in this case, is there ever going to be a possible to convict a police officer? They have carte blanche.
Well, yeah, I mean, absolutely. The Philando Castile, that's the one where the wife or the girlfriend filmed it, and the officer shot him in the chest when he told him, like, I have a gun in my... That trial is going to start, or whatever. He was charged, I believe, with manslaughter. It could be right or wrong. I don't know, but that's going to start up soon. That's another goddamn... I think maybe even clearer. They literally didn't even make a move at all. And he got murdered in front of everybody. But yeah, I mean, they're all now, pretty cut and dry. Not the fault of the person pulled over for the random traffic stop.
Now, do you want to have a quick discussion on what the jury was made up of?
Sure.
Okay. So I don't know if this is a jury of his peers. It was made up of 10 white people and 2 blacks.
Yeah.
So my question is, does those life experiences of those 10 white people any way could be similar to his experiences as in Ray Jensen?
Well, yeah, I mean, they could be similar, sure. But yeah, I think we've talked about this before, right? I mean, I'd want 10 people from my town that look like me, have like similar backgrounds as me. If I'm this guy's family, if I'm Samuel DeBose's family, yes, I want 40-year-old black people on that jury as much as possible. You know what I mean? People from that area, people that have lived that type of experience. That's not really how it works, but right. But if we're really talking jury of your peers, then I want exactly my peers up there.
I can almost guarantee that the defense attorney had just objections to black juries.
100%, right.
Like that's how you win a case.
And at the very least, shouldn't it be majority black? That's the victim.
Yes.
That's his experience. So it should be people that are sympathetic or at least understanding of that. Not that you can't be empathetic or sympathetic as white or whatever. Not, you know, I think the cop is guilty in this case, but
yeah.
Well, I mean, you wouldn't be selected for the jury for that exact reason.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean,
right.
you have to, at this, like, you do have to go into a jury, like, you have the jury pool, and then you have to, like, you have to go in with no thinking that you want to hear the evidence of the case. You can't just.
Well, that's not true. I mean, I would lie and try to get on the, you know, and then try to do the right thing. The problem is they got to find people. They select people that have no idea what the fuck happened in the case. They're like, yeah, ideally, they're tough. They're finding people from the town that it happened in who cared not enough
to know about
to even know what happened. That's ideally who they're looking for in most cases.
I mean,
which is almost impossible.
That's a hard demographic to fill.
Well, yeah, they're the worst, right?
Well, I also wonder how many people, like, if you're being selected for a jury, you're asked, like, do you have any reason you would have, like, any tie to this case? And if you're, like, for black people, they do have, like, there is definitely some emotion tied to the case, even if you're not related to them.
Oh,
so,
absolutely. Like, you would assume a percentage of black people, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, like, a lot, like, most black people I know say, like, this is a major issue in their life, and they can't go into jury and just say, like, most of them could not honestly say, I don't have personal bias.
That doesn't
this.
Matter. Just lie.
How un-American of you, Chris?
Nah, that's you gosh. That's the most American
you can't
do.
Are you technically under American. Oath when they interview you for all that stuff too, technically, or no?
I have no idea. I've never been on a jury. No. I would imagine that you're not really allowed to lie, Joey. But I'm
you
just
hear
saying.
That, universe? You hear that?
But do you think
Chris has never been on a jury, but he wants to be.
No, don't do that. I've been universe. Selected. No, I've been selected for jury duty. Like, I've gotten, you know, call for jury duty, but I just haven't been in the... But meanwhile, if I go, if, you know, if they're ever asking me questions, I'll be like, listen, I don't even believe in law enforcement at all. Next.
No, you have to tell them that you believe in the law and auto candidate.
Yeah, they'll be like, perfect. We got a couple of shooting victims that we got to, you know.
Oh.
Anyway, yeah, not to make light of that, but okay, so that's a mistrial. So now we'll see by the end of the month what the situation is.
Not to mention, the thing that jabs me a little bit about this, the trial started October 31st, 2016. 2 weeks later, it's mistrialed, just like that.
Yeah.
2 weeks.
Yeah, if you can't. Yeah, of course.
I don't know. It seems inhuman to me.
I mean, would you be happier if it dragged out 6 months and had a mistrial then?
Yeah,
no,
at least
but
it seems like they no, but you would be more because at least it seems like
they reflected
tried.
About
yeah.
it or something,
right?
But like,
2 weeks.
Most trials won't last 2 days. It's like a 2 week trial is actually not a short trial. Like
there's a murder involving a cop. You know,
I mean, it's more complex. Like, it's more complex than your average case, but it's also not. It just I want the justice system to act quickly. I prefer that.
Well, I want justice to be served. That's what.
Yeah,
I want.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, right? If it's going to go slowly, but justice is done, then fine. Then we'll take that trade off. But right. Yes. Ideally, they'd be able to do it correctly and swiftly. All right. ISIS and Mosul. I feel like this is something that's sort of fallen off the table again.
I have a question for you before we get into this.
Okay. Facebook.
What am I going to do? Facebook, bro.
We'll do it
after.
We'll do it. Yeah. We'll do it right before the Trump administration update.
Okay. Fine.
Was sitting in this very studio the other day. Me and John were in here. I was wrapping up a show. We had CNN on. We're watching. Mm-hmm. Talking about Jared Kushner. Talking about all the Trump transitions and chaos and blah, blah, blah. And I said, they're already abdicating their responsibility. There's Syria's happening. All the voting issues that we've talked about is happening. Mm-hmm. Mosul's happening. Mm-hmm. North Dakota access pipelines happening. There's so many different things that are going on.
Yes.
And this is just like this is like e-television for politics. That's all it is. They're showing Ivanka. They're showing Jared Kushner. They're making a little storyline. Bye, bye, bye. What do you think he's going to do? They're just speculating. You fuckers are so complicit in Trump becoming president and all of this. And you don't even learn your lesson because you're not working for us. It's entertainment. It's not news. And, you know, we're just watching it because whatever. It's the middle of the day. We just had it on. But give me a fucking break, man. It's very frustrating to watch that shit. Very frustrating. Especially when we're about to talk about. That's what sparked it. Mosul, ISIS. Because
what we're going to talk about next is bad.
Because it's something Trump ran on. You know what I mean? And yeah. Hillary ran on with Syria and no fly zones and this shit, that shit. We're going to take Mosul. We're going to get, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, all this stuff. Okay. Why isn't that on TV all the time? Television should be Syria protests climate change. Syria protests climate change over and over.
Because
and over
it's depressing, it's real, and it doesn't sell advertising.
Yeah. Well,
ratings, Chris.
Yeah, well, they can suck my dick out of that.
I've been fascinated by Glenn Beck's comments this week.
Yeah, what's Glenn Beck up to? Well, on what? Where have you seen Glenn Beck talking?
He's been coming out saying, basically talking about how they, Fox News screwed up by with what they've been doing.
On what? He has his own network, right? Is that what you're seeing? Are you seeing clips of him? Whatever.
He's come out saying Steve Bannon's a terrifying man. How Fox News is complicit in making Trump president, and they've created this terrifying machine.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a cog in the machine saying that, but
interesting. Glenn Beck's becoming the voice of reason, which is terrible. Well, weird.
MSP episode.
I wouldn't say that. What?
I think that was a title.
What was?
A cog in the machine.
Cog in the machine. 100% it wasn't.
Really?
I bet my life. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Deal with that, Joey. How about that for confidence? According to UK Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson, Western intelligence sources believe ISIS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi has fled Mosul. He's being protected by four tribes, apparently, as he travels around. That's an interesting development, because we're going into Mosul. You're hoping to take out ISIS and its leadership, and if this guy's not there, then you got to wonder where he is.
Yes.
I would assume he's on his way somewhere to Syria, or, we've talked about this before. It's not like he can just go to the Caribbean and hang out there, I mean, he's somewhere.
People are looking for him.
Yes, he's on the move. And to the point where people don't believe that he's even really running the show for ISIS now, because he's kind of secluded and out of the way. ISIS fighters have been shaving off their beards to blend in, by the way, which, good luck finding them now. You know what I mean? That's a signifier, the long beard and everything. It's part of the culture. You shave that off, dramatically different. I look different if I shave my beard off. It's not super long. Meanwhile, as ISIS loses control of Mosul, they've resorted to increasingly brutal tactics. They forced 1,500 Iraqi families to march from Haman al-Alil, I guess how you pronounce it, to Mosul to be used as human shields. A mass grave was found by the advancing soldiers, filled with bodies, obviously.
You want to know how they found that that grave?
Sure.
They smelt something awful and decided to bring over a bulldozer.
Yeah, well,
that's horrible.
Yes, it is horrible. The ISIS has killed 60 plus spies. I'm using air quotes. Like, anybody they suspect of doing anything anti-ISIS, they're just like, well,
he's a spy.
Kill him. Using boys as young as 12 to head up the front lines with suicide belts strapped to them. They also, this one makes me sick. Underground prisons have been found. 961 men and boys have been forced into cages 3 feet by 1.5 feet wide. Emaciated, tortured. Think about that. A brutal regime.
Mm-hmm.
They're working towards getting to Mosul to try to take that city back. Iraqis privately talk about the retaking of Mosul lasting 3 months now, as opposed to the 1 month that they said initially when we talked about it. We were like, that's pretty unrealistic, probably. I have a quote here by Abdullah al-Mahazni, I guess how you pronounce it. He's a key authority amongst radical circles in Syria. This is interesting. Trump's victory is an important step towards the victory of the Sunnis. We have long tried to explain that the fight is not against terrorism, but against the Sunnis, and the Mujahideen are just the front line. The American strategy will not change much. What has changed is that the war is open and not secret, and that is a good thing. Trump's victory will lay the groundwork for bloody battles and great chaos. His strategy of exclusion and crushing opponents will sow greater division in America. Trump reveals the real mentality of the Americans and their racism towards Muslims and Arabs and everything. He only reveals what his predecessors have kept hidden. He's the ultimate propaganda tool, Donald Trump. And that bullshit rhetoric, it's like, yeah, okay, it sounds good to your base, but to the rest of the world, it's a recruitment tool, as is Guantanamo Bay. Oh, Guantanamo Bay, another thing. Yeah. Well, let's see what happens there. You think we're going to empty Guantanamo Bay?
No, we're going to double the size.
Yeah, we're probably going to send people there. Perfect. Hamza Karibi, who runs the Twitter account. This is a crazy sentence. Runs the Twitter account for Jabhat Fateh al-Sham, formerly an al-Qaeda affiliate in Syria. He tweeted, "From this day forward, we will no longer need videos explaining the West's plots. We will only need to retweet what Trump says." He was probably pumped when Trump got elected. He was like, "Oh, my job just got so much easier. Retweet, like."
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to do the work for them.
Absolutely. He's already started. That's what they're saying. We can only take them at their word. Unless you think they're trying to mind fuck us somehow. Like, no, they're going to use that. We know that. We know Guantanamo Bay is a recruitment tool. We know all this stuff is a recruitment tool. The drone strikes, all the shit.
Scary times, my friend.
Yeah. We'll do the Trump administration update after Joey does his homework.
All right. So, everyone, I hope I'm going to present it to the class.
I'd like to be able to just have a discussion. Like, I want you to present it and be able to just talk amongst ourselves.
Yes.
Because I'm not on Facebook. I don't like Mark Zuckerberg necessarily.
All right. So, believe it or not, but Facebook has become the primary source for about half of the adult American population, Chris.
That's scary.
I believe it. Yeah. Of course I believe it. All right. Yes.
So, how many people is that?
Half of the American adult population?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, 150 million people?
Good guess. Fantastic. 150 million people get their news from Facebook.
That was a legit guess, by the way.
Yes. Now, within all that demographic of people getting the news, there's three leading right-wing pages that a lot of people happen to post that have false or misleading information. Now, these websites...
Breitbart?
Yes, is one of them. Actually, we have a list of 138 of them, but you're jumping ahead on me. If it was found out that of these three leading pages, 38% of the time it was lying. 38% of the time. Now,
like lying, this is not true.
This is not true.
Hillary Clinton wears, you know, blue polka dotted underwear. Not true. She doesn't wear any underwear.
While the left leading.
How dare you, Matt? Why? Is that ageist? Are you sexist?
The left-leaning websites.
I would go down on Hillary Clinton right now if I knew that she could become president tomorrow. I would.
You would take it for
everybody?
Twice
a day, 2 months.
You would save everybody.
Absolutely, I would. Of course I would. I'm an American. I'm a patriot.
And the left-leaning, 20%. So the left-leaning guys are doing lying 20% of the times, while the right-wing...
And now you're couching it as lying, but is it
it's
lying
misleading
or it's misleading factual?
False and misleading, so they didn't divide up.
Yeah, okay, so it's not lying.
So they threw it together.
Okay, so 38% of the shit that goes out there that's in the, you would categorize as right-leaning information.
Yes.
False. 38% of it, 20% on the other side.
Yes.
All right.
Now, Facebook has become a huge issue because of the recent political... choice of Donald Trump.
Right.
So we have a quote from Bobby Goodlatte, who used to be...
What is his real name? Come on.
Bobby.
Bobby Goodlatte? Is that what you said?
G-O-O-D-L-A-T-T-E.
Goodlatte, I guess?
Goodlatte.
Whatever, good. That's fine.
I could put the little, you know...
Yeah, the little what?
Accent mark?
Tilde?
Tilde.
I thought you were going for like an umlaut there.
Yeah. Shut up, Matt.
So he used to be a former designer on Facebook, and then... This is what he had to say. Sadly, newsfeed optimizes for engagement. As we've learned in this election, bullshit is highly engaging. Yeah, a bias towards truth isn't an impossible goal. Wikipedia, for instance, still bends the truth despite a huge, massive audience. But it's now clear that democracy suffers if our news environment incentivizes bullshit.
Yeah, it's entertainment. It's not news.
Now, of course, you go straight to the source. So you go ask Mark Zuckerberg his opinion on Facebook having a influence on the outcome of the presidential election.
Yeah, because this is what really pissed me off. Let me say this, though.
Yes.
I read today, Merriam-Webster, the dictionary, has added...
No, not post-truth.
Oh,
come on, that's
it?
In
okay.
here.
Right.
Why are you stepping on this?
Go ahead. Okay. I didn't
Did
even
you
read
just
the
want
article.
To give the presentation, Chris?
I didn't even read the article.
I did my homework.
I sent you two articles, and I was like, do you do the... I didn't even look at them. I happened to read more today. Go ahead.
So Mark had to say, it's a pretty crazy idea.
Yeah, this Brillo-headed piece of shit.
My ass.
Yeah.
So if you remember, I wanted to mention to you earlier to recall about having opposing views.
Yeah.
One major issue that occurs now because of the newsfeed issue is a phenomenon known as the filter bubble.
Right.
A filter bubble works like this. people's news feeds are becoming increasingly personalized to the point that opposing views are no longer available.
Right.
So it's a feedback loop. It's the same shit over and over and over again with nothing new to penetrate it.
Ali Muhammad from In the Conversation refers to that idea, like the increasingly personalized news and all that stuff, as a digital ghetto. He's like, it's the prison of like an algorithm. No, we can't use it. It's his thing.
Damn it.
But, you know, and they've talked about it on the show, but yes. I'm just saying, if you listen in the conversation, you know what I'm talking about, but that's what it is. Like you're putting yourself, because it's not even just political or news. It's also the music you see, the cultural stuff you see, the, you know, it's a very dangerous thing. And I try to turn all that shit off. I don't want stuff tailored for me. No. Yeah. What is actually happening? I'm not the only person in the world.
Because at the end, you're just being spoon-fed and you don't have any new experiences or know anything else going on.
Yeah, you have zero basis of comparison. You can't. You only see what you see, and you see other shit and you go, I can dismiss it. That doesn't seem true. What are you doing?
I have to write that down.
What?
A title.
No, we'll wait. Don't know.
You want to know?
No.
Okay.
Okay. Matt, you saw it?
Yeah, I saw it.
It's misspelled too, but it's fine.
I'm sure it is. Yeah.
So, Mark Zuckerberg was also asked about this filter bubble issue. And his response was, major news networks and newspapers have been doing it for the same thing last 20 years. Look at Fox News.
Yeah, that's great.
So
yeah,
okay. He just throws it
We're
out.
We're as good as Fox News. That's essentially what he's saying. Like, look, Fox does it. We, you know, what a dismissive fuck. Meanwhile, let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. I'm not on Facebook, but I know goddamn well that people are getting, like you said, half of adults are getting their news from Facebook. You know what that news is? You're the dumb people around you that are posting whatever they're posting, the stupid arguments that they're having, and then this like confirmation bias nonsense that Facebook is putting out there with zero regard for what's actually true or not. They just go, well, it's that illusion of bias that we always talk about, where it's like, well, we have to, you know, we got to put out a countervailing point there, because otherwise we're going to be accused of bias. Be biased. You're influencing everybody. You're influencing everyone. People don't have time to go on The Guardian, The Intercept, this and that. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to synthesize all this stuff. People go on Facebook multiple times a day because it's a time-killing thing. Mm-hmm. They see a headline. They probably don't have time to read it.
And they just share.
Hillary Clinton murdered 18 people on Thursday. Nobody cared. What? That's crazy. I'm going to vote for Trump. Like, good.
Now, BuzzFeed has reported there's supposed to be like 12 employees that are coming together at Facebook to try to fight the fake news issue.
They need to hire a news division. That's what they have to do. They're making billions of dollars. They need to form a fucking news division that's a loss leader like it used to be, and let them filter shit and get real information out there. They could cut through the goddamn bullshit so quickly.
Now, you want to know what cuts through the bullshit? You don't need that. Do you know what you need? You need a bunch of hackers.
Well, I think
from Princeton University that was partially sponsored by Facebook.
You keep doing it. I'm trying to argue with you, and then you just just get louder and cut me off.
It works well, doesn't it? It's what the Republicans do.
Yeah. Well, I don't talk to a lot of Republicans. Okay. No, I do.
So how would your idea work, Chris? Then, like, hiring a news division. I mean, you can't tell people not to post what they read and what they like.
Two different things. What people post is fine, but what you're talking about here is like the news feed, which I'm not familiar with, but apparently, well, explain what the news feed is then to me. I've never actually seen it, if I'm being honest with you.
All right. So back in the old day, you used to have the status updates.
Yeah.
So they kind of eliminated that, and it's now news feed, where it's what people feel are important issues happening, and they can post it.
Yeah, but isn't there like a a trending thing? Like that's what is at odds here, right? It's like news that ends up trending.
That's something else.
That's what I'm talking about. What is that?
What's trending now, but that's...
And what is that based on? That's like based on their own like Facebook algorithm, but that's part of the problem.
Yeah, it's all the algorithms.
It's stuff that gets the most views ends up at the top of that. Without
or shared the most.
Yeah, or shared the most. Right, but of course sensational nonsense is going to get shared the most, and that's not really informative. You can fucking filter that. You could have a news division that filters out the crap and actually, you know, promotes good information. They don't have to weight it one over the other, but they could say this is true, that's okay. If this is false, that's not okay.
That is kind of against the whole base of the site, where you're not trying to
give a shit.
I'm just trying to say, like, it's not like Facebook is your friends posting stuff and you see it. It's not
your friends are dumb. That's fine. If you want to see what Tommy did with his daughter over the weekend, great. I don't want you getting your news from Tommy. That's the thing.
Tommy says.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you want to see pictures of when you went out to karaoke the other night. Oh, Joey got hammered. Great. That's share whatever you want. Nobody should be stopping you from doing that. I don't want you getting your information from people that haven't vetted the information either. That's not, because if half the fucking adult population is getting their news from Facebook, then the news on Facebook has to be accurate. Period. That's it. Or don't get into the news business. That's really what the issue is, because now he's getting criticized for doing something and having an impact, and then he's going, well, we didn't have anything to do with it. We'll fix it now. Too late, motherfucker. Too late.
They're not doing much to fix it.
They will. They're going to crack, but I'm just, you know, it's too late.
But there was a group of hackers.
Yeah.
Because Facebook had a sponsored thing. So these Princeton hackers created a project known as FIB, yeah. Stop Living the Lie. In 36 hours... they created a Chrome browser extension, so like a plugin,
yeah,
that it examines the news feed in real time. Anything that is real news, it passes through. Anything that is misleading or false, it tries to actively go out and seek the truth.
Yeah, well, how does it do that? We don't know, but that's a whole other thing. But that's
not a Princeton University hacker.
But that's what I'm talking about, though. I mean, that's it's an interesting idea.
Took them 36 hours.
Yeah, well, they're smart, right? They'll probably work for Facebook next week, but. That's what I'm talking about with the news division. That's their job.
Yes. Now, here is the mission statement of that said group. In the current media landscape, control over the distribution.
No, don't worry about it. We got it.
Has become almost as important as the actual creation of content and has given Facebook a huge amount of power. The impact of Facebook newsfeed has in the formation of opinions in the real world is so huge that it has potentially affected the 2016 election decisions. However, these news feeds were not completely accurate.
No, they were apparently, 58% of it was inaccurate.
Now, there was a media professor at McCormick College in Massachusetts that came up with a list of these misleading websites.
Yeah, get into that in a second, because are you getting into like the Macedonian kids that...
I have not. I couldn't find any more on that. I wish you didn't bring it up. But
no,
okay.
It's fine. I was going to say, so these Macedonian, they were like teenagers, basically were responsible for a lot of this information that was getting out there. They were creating fake websites with these sensational headlines saying Hillary Clinton, you know, the FBI agent that investigated Hillary is dead with a suicide note attached, you know, but not true. Because they were getting advertising money on all these ads. So they didn't, on all these articles. So they didn't really care. You know, what effect it was having or how many people were reading it. They were like, if 1 million people read this, we're going to get paid for 1 million hits, you know? That was part of it.
Now, your Breitbart, which you brought up, is number 47 on the list of 130.
Of what?
Of the websites that have been deemed misleading or false.
Is that in a particular order or is it just...
I don't know. I don't think it's in particular order, but what she did was she created different categories of false and misleading news.
Okay.
And then she took the website and told you what categories that website falls into.
What category does Breitbart fall into?
Okay. So for Breitbart, it's category 2 and 3. So category 2 is some websites on this list may calculate misleading and or potentially unreliable information, and they were marked with a 2. And then category 3 is other websites on this list sometimes use clickbait-y headlines and social media descriptions as they are marked with a 3. So it's clickbait. So
clickbait.
It's,
yeah, of course.
It's misleading.
Well,
and
that's
clickbait.
What these Macedonian kids are doing.
Yes.
It's clickbait and inaccurate is what Breitbart is.
Right. Yes, it's both inaccurate and nonsense.
So could I read you some of the websites?
Yeah, I'd love to.
100% fedup.com, enduringvision.com.
See, but this is the shit. It's
tankalertpress.com, 21stcenturywire.com.
Right.
fprnradio.com, politicalblindspot.com, and it just goes on.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of bullshit websites, right? Well, that's what's very frustrating.
Governmentslaves.info? Really? Do you think that seems like a reputable news source?
Yes, they're very, they fact-checked all that stuff.
Humansarefree.com.
Right. That's the problem. I mean, this is the problem, though. You yelled at me. You were going to get to post-truth. Go ahead. This is where we are. Yes. This is the situation. Because New York Times posts an article, Trump transitioning chaos. Trump tweets at New York Times, fuck the New York Times, they're lying, the transition's going perfectly. Now you're in a situation where people that want to believe Trump disregard the New York Times completely. People that don't like Trump are going to disregard Trump and any information that actually is true about Trump. What is true then? Now we're in a situation where nothing is actually factual to everybody. There is an element of, I don't know, maybe it's true. Because I don't even know at that point. I'm inclined to believe that the transition is not going well based on the amount of sources I've checked and seen and the information. But at a certain point, maybe there is some kind of bias. There is some kind of bias in the media. We know that. So where do you go for the right information? What is actually true?
Here's your bias. You ready?
You have to fact check so much.
2016, Word of the Year by Oxford Dictionaries is post-truth.
I feel like I heard that somewhere
The
before.
Adjective is defined as relations to circumstances in which facts are judged to be less important than emotion and public opinion.
Mm.
It first appeared in 1992, and as the BBC notes, that post-truth was used had an increase of 2,000% between 2015 and 2016.
Interesting. And isn't that kind of what I'm talking about? Like, you see it on the right, certainly. I just feel like Obama's not American. I don't know what it is, but I just feel it.
Yeah.
It's his black skin. And spoiler alert, it's because he's black. No, but you know what I mean? That's so right. You've heard that before from people on the right. But the same shit with the pins and all this stuff on the left. Facts are not going to matter.
No,
at a certain
it's the emotion
point.
Behind
it's emotion,
it.
And that's what you're in a dangerous place. They're coming at it from the different sides of the spectrum, but eventually they're going to meet in the middle, and that middle is fascism. You know what I mean? Where people can't say or do or whatever, and that's really a big impact of why Trump got elected too.
But do you know?
And, but this post-truth is like it's a horrifying, hideous sentence.
But do you know what's fucked up about all this though?
What?
150 million adult Americans get their news from from Facebook.
Right.
But only 120 million people voted for president in the United States.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. Right.
And that's a little bit alarming to me.
Well, it should be alarming that not everybody votes. I mean, everybody should be voting. What the fuck? Or not, or none of us should. One or the other.
So is that 150 million number, is that based on like people's primary news source, or is it they view Facebook and therefore are going to be influenced by the headlines?
No, I think it's going to be primary news source, right?
Primary news source.
I just find it sort of interesting to like look at the dilemma we're in right now, where it's like because of the freedom of the press, we have such an oversaturation of news that you need to be able to filter out to get good truth, where it's like we compare ourselves to China or something like that, and it's like, they don't allow freedom of the press, but both systems have inherent problems right now.
Yeah, well, it's the Aldous Huxley versus, I was going to say, I always say Orson Welles, but that's not who I mean. Who do I mean? fucking 1984.
Hust?
No.
Oh, George Orwell?
George Orwell, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Orwell, his vision was that we weren't going to have any choice, that we were just going to be spoon-fed. Huxley's vision was that we were going to have too much choice, that we were just going to be overwhelmed by such amounts of choice that's how they were going to control
us. Kind of like YouTube?
Well, whatever. This situation where there's so many different sources that you don't know what's true, post-truth, you just give up.
And both are happening in parts of the world. It's kind of...
Yes. And which one's more effective? I mean, the rest of the world doesn't understand what the fuck's happening here, so I guess, you know, our abundance of information is working very well to keep us clouded. It's a really interesting situation. Thank you, Joey. I think you did a really nice job with that.
Thank you. Obviously,
we're going to keep talking about this shit. This is, you know, and that's, I say this all the time and I mean it. I don't say anything on this podcast, like as I present it as a fact, unless I've checked it under like legit news sources, you know? And you got to figure out which those are, but there are actual journalists doing work and there's actual institutions that you can trust. You just have to fucking be a critical thinker and be able to go, well, that doesn't sound right, and be able to cross-reference and do that stuff. But man, when you're just looking on Facebook and that's where you're getting your news, and you saw that, you know, Jane posted this shit and that's the headline, and okay, now I'm gonna go back to dinner, like that's it, that's where you're getting your information from, you don't stand a fucking chance. I think people talk about a conspiracy or whatever, people are trying, it's so easy for them. They just get here's all this entertainment, monkeys, just pay attention to this, and we'll be behind the curtain doing what we want because you're not paying attention to us, and you don't, even if you are paying attention, you don't even know how to like combat it.
Absolutely. And now you can tell everybody how Trump's going to combat his presidential
Yeah, good
transition.
Good try. All right.
Yeah, okay.
Trump administration update. The first Trump administration update of this podcast. A new Gravis poll. This is not really about Trump, but it fits under this. It's sort of like a 2016 update, this little part. A new Gravis poll taken 2 days prior to Election Day indicates that Bernie Sanders would have received 56% of the vote to Trump's 44%, the biggest margin of victory since Reagan beat Mondale. Independent voters would have broke for Bernie 55 to 45, 48, 42, Trump beat Hillary. So Bernie would have wiped the floor according to this Gravis poll. All right.
I'm done with polls.
But we said that during the primary. I tend to believe that. I think Bernie would have fared better than Hillary would have. You think Bernie would have forgotten to go to Wisconsin, talk to white people about their problems?
Nope.
Okay. All right. TheHill.com is reporting that President-elect Trump wants to spend weekends at Trump Tower, New York, his New Jersey golf course, or Mar-a-Lago, his Florida resort. Let me tell you something. Fine, I guess. That's not really the issue. But for all these like conservatives worried about the debt and all that stuff, do you think it's going to be expensive or not expensive to protect the president at four different locations on a weekly basis?
Well, and what goes into Secret Service adjustments in a large apartment building?
Yeah, in Manhattan. Yeah, you think protecting the president in a penthouse in Midtown Manhattan is going to be easy?
And can what happens to other residents who own places in Trump Tower? Like, do they get screwed over?
Well,
because,
yeah, I mean, but that's a second. But yeah. Is the answer.
I imagine every other president has not lived in a giant apartment building. They've lived in a house.
And that's not even the issue. I don't even have that. That's not even my issue. But I'm just saying people that are going to be, like, concerned about the debt or whatever. Like, Trump's down to earth. Does he? He wants to go live at a resort in Florida on the weekends. Every week he wants to leave Washington and go somewhere else.
Because nothing happens. The president doesn't do any work on the weekends, you know.
Well,
right?
That doesn't even bother me either. I mean, he doesn't physically have to be at the White House, you know. But okay. Take all that out of it. It's like already he's showing his fiscal responsibility. He's an everyman. VP Mike Pence has taken over transition duties from sad sack of shit New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. It's not going well, apparently, according to a lot of reports, the transition. Apparently, the Trump team underestimated how many appointments they'd have to make. They don't really understand the process, which is surprising considering you put a complete political novice in a position of power and he has no idea how to do that.
Yeah, but that's his vice president's supposed to know how to do that.
Well, that's why he put Pence in power here. It's also really pathetic for Christie, a guy that just like backed him and like would go get a McDonald's and all this shit, and he just kicked to the curb like a loser. Good.
It was the DC screw job.
I don't know.
Okay.
Trump is considering one of the primary Bush-era torture program architects, Jose Rodriguez, to run the CIA. He developed black sites where waterboarding and other forms of torture took place. Okay.
Sounds like a little Law and Order candidate, Chris.
Yeah. Trump may be willing to keep parts of Obamacare intact. Pre-existing conditions or not being able to deny coverage for pre-existing and staying on your parents' insurance till the age of 26. Trump said, I like those very much. he said that the other day, which is, I'm assuming, the first time he's heard about them, because I can't imagine that he knew anything.
He actually knows about it.
So that's interesting. I hope people that voted for Trump notice that.
Yeah.
I think it's good. It'd be good if he kept those.
You want to know what's not good?
But that doesn't sound like total repeal on day one, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
Do you know what doesn't sound good?
What?
The fact that the Department of Energy, the Department of Transportation, and the Justice Department are all waiting to hear from the Trump camp about new appointees.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. They didn't even know that they had to replace all these people. Who are they going to replace them with? They don't know, you know, they actually don't know what they're doing.
So he wants to drain the swamp, but he doesn't know the size of the swamp.
He can't find the plug. He's fishing around in the dark. Yeah. 60 Minutes interview. Trump gave a wide-ranging 60 Minutes interview the other night, which annoyed me to watch. You know, it's just like a fucking softball-ass interview. But he says he's going to appoint pro-life Second Amendment justices. He won't try to overturn gay marriage, which is good. He will forego the $400,000 presidential salary exactly like Hitler did. He didn't say that, but that's the truth. Look into it. Hitler, as a gesture to the people when he became, you know, chancellor, he was like, I don't want the money.
So he donated his money.
Yeah.
Kennedy did the same thing.
Did Kennedy do it?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. Well, anyway, so Trump's doing that too. But interesting. Let me ask you this, by the way. It's a little bit off the beaten path. Was Hitler considered entertaining to people at the time?
I mean, he absolutely fired up.
Fired up is not what I'm talking about. I'm saying, was he like Trump, as bad as his ideas
yes,
are?
Yes,
Trump
he was entertaining.
Trump will say something once in a while. Like, that's kind of funny. Like, was that.
No. Entertaining as you would want to watch, not entertaining as funny, haha.
No, but sometimes he is funny. I mean, sometimes he says things.
No, we're talking about Hitler now.
I mean, entertaining.
I'm pretty sure Hitler wasn't funny.
Entertaining was a very
funny. I'm just saying. I'm just wondering because people do make these like Hitler comparisons and whatever. So it's just interesting to think like you see how Trump came to power. Hitler came to power as well. I just wonder if like when he's giving those speeches, obviously they're exciting for a certain base of people. It like fires them up, like you said. But was Hitler? You know what I'm saying? Like I mean, was he just like an entertaining person per se?
Hitler was definitely a much better orator. Like
Yeah. See, I'll give him that. He could certainly deliver a speech, Adolf Hitler.
And I think it's kind of hard to compare in those terms. Because,
the comments.
People
know what I'm saying.
I'm a giant history nerd, so like 19...
Hitler was an excellent speaker, okay? That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying his ideas were good.
But I mean, people like, you didn't have the entertainment...
Apples to apples, he's a great speaker. Good.
You didn't have the entertainment industry in the same way, where it's like...
Right.
It's like, okay, TVs are a brand new thing back then.
Just a different culture completely. Yeah, but
newspapers too, everything.
The speeches themselves were, you said, it got people energized.
Like, if you look at like the Nuremberg rallies,
right.
thousands and thousands of people came out to see him.
For sure. All right. Trump says he'll think about prosecuting Hillary. I'll think about it.
Bullshit.
Yeah, he's not going to prosecute. What are you fucking idiots crazy? He's not going to prosecute her. Shit. First of all, nobody found any actual criminal wrongdoing. But okay, ignoring that, he's not going to fucking appoint a special prosecutor. Get real, crazy people. He says he's going to deport 2 to 3 million, quote, criminal immigrants.
Where's he going to get the money from that? That's my question.
Absolutely. Another great question. He's going to triple ICE. Agents. Okay, yeah, no, that's free.
What do you mean triple ICE agents?
ICE, the immigration, whatever.
Oh, okay, sorry, my bad.
He's actually going to, like, with Smirnoff ICE, he's going to go up and three times, he's going to give them...
You know, he used to do that to me all the fucking time. It was like...
Donald Trump?
No. Chris used to ICE me. Back in college, it was like an alcoholic. It was just every place I went, I was getting ICE.
That's actually how I asked my groomsmen to be my groomsmen. I shipped them all Smirnoff ICE in the mail. And they opened it and it was like, you're my groomsman, but guess what, dummy? And so they got iced and they had to send me a video of themselves being iced.
You're a monster.
He is a monster.
Well, it's monstrous because a bunch of my friends lived in like at the time it was the summer. So like they were in Carolina or whatever.
100 degrees.
They're drinking like boiling warm Smirnoff ice that was in the mail for 2 days. Yeah. Gotcha, fuckers. All right. So yeah, Trump's going to deport 2 to 3 million criminal immigrants. He's not going to do that. I'm just telling you, that's not possible, really. He might try to round people up and put them in private detention centers, which is a possibility. More than likely, he's not going to do that at all.
I mean, let's go back to the fact that Obama has deported more illegal immigrants than any president ever, and he really upped the deportation. So is Trump really going to like up that again when immigration isn't as big of a problem as people think it is?
Absolutely not. And he also, in the interview, Trump kind of hinted that like there's some good ones. Yeah, he's going to leave millions of people alone.
There's some good ones.
No, you know what I mean? He's going to. That's just the reality of the situation. Yeah. You can't get rid of them all.
Like what I've been seeing is like the biggest impact on immigration is probably going to be the fact that executive orders signed by Obama will probably be allowed to lapse or repealed, where it's like allowing the ones that allow people born here to illegal immigrants or like people who grew up their entire life being illegal, like allows them to stay and be...
Yeah, we're going to see what happens. Right, he'll probably let that lapse, but it just means that those people are going to live a more fearful existence.
And people who essentially grew up as Americans just without the protection of the law.
Yeah.
And it's like, those are the people he's going to go after.
Yeah, well, maybe, right? Or he's not going to know what the fuck to do. He's going to spray it everywhere. Who knows what the situation's going to be. He's open to a wall, but some fence is okay, he said.
I
love that. It's day one, and he's already... It's not even day one, and he's already like... We're going to build a wall and a part of it and fence also because the wall is impossible. But we're going to build a beautiful wall. It's going to have a door, chain link door. What? That's a fence.
Chain link door.
You know what I mean? So he's already, okay, I hope everybody that voted for him is paying very close attention to all the things he's not going to do.
There's going
to
be a lot of broken promises.
Yeah, well,
I mean, that's any campaign, but.
No, but this is going to be like.
He ran on this shit. This is what he ran on. Steve Bannon, chief White House strategist and senior counselor. He's an alt-right white nationalist, according to a lot of sources and certain things that I've read about him. I got to be honest, I haven't, I haven't done as much research into Bannon per se. More to come on Bannon.
But. I have a question. Are you allowed just to ask somebody, are you a white supremacist? Like, could we interview him and just go, are you a white supremacist? No, right?
Go, let's play it out. Go ahead, ask me. I'm okay. Steve Bannon.
Okay. Are you a white supremacist?
No.
Damn it.
Finally, he might say, yeah, who knows? Wouldn't that be crazy? They just interview the Barbara Walters interview with Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon, are you a white supremacist? Absolutely. Cut next.
To be fair, at the same time, nothing sounds like you're racist more than having to say, I'm not a racist.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, thank you, Jared. and finally, Trump wants Rudy Giuliani as his Secretary of State, apparently. We said Petraeus might also be in the running. But a major issue in Giuliani partners and its relationship with Qatar. I have a quote from Bob Baer, who's a former CIA officer who tracked Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who's the 9/11 mastermind. He says the contract between Giuliani Security, a division of Giuliani Partners, and Qatar is a huge conflict of interest. He is metaphorically taking money from the same accounts that paid Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. So for all the bullshit about Hillary, again, and the Clinton Foundation, all this stuff, Giuliani's tied up in
his hands in the cookie jar too.
Yeah, of course. They're all tied up in the same scheme, but she's the corrupt one. It's unbelievable that they were able to pin bullshit on her. You know, there's legitimate things with Hillary, but these guys are all hands in the cookie jar, just like you said. So, same way.
So when he like runs and promises everyone he's going to drain the swamp, and he doesn't.
Wow, you talk about a phrase that makes me want to cut my fucking ear.
I fucking love it. I'm sorry. I just drain that goddamn swamp. It's too big. It's swampy. Just, it's a lot of swamp.
This is the last show we're doing.
Chris is going to cut off his ears like Van
Gogh. I am. I'm going to cut my ears off like Van Gogh. All right. That's all I got. Joey?
A fantastic episode.
Oh, thanks, buddy. Matt, you got any final thoughts there?
No, not my thoughts in my head.
All right, I can tell. social media, I'm at @ManSamp. All platforms. Joey is at Joey from Jersey. Jersey spelled with a Z. Matt is Matt D. Weiss on Twitter. Go follow the kid. He needs some followers. He might.
I've been shocked to be getting actual followers lately.
It's very nice. Keep it up.
He might get some thoughts rattle around. He'll tweet them out. I'm overdue
for something in my head.
There you go. iTunes, you go on there, you can subscribe, rate us, leave a comment. We appreciate that. SoundCloud.com/mandatorySamson. You can leave a comment on the episode. We'll respond to all of those. You can also email us mandatorySamson@gmail.com. Guys, we are not doing an episode next week, like I mentioned. This is episode MSP 105. 106 will be coming in 2 weeks, but 105.5, which is just going to be an all-email episode that me and Joey are going to get together, over Thanksgiving weekend or whatever. Mm-hmm. We'll meet up and we'll read some of those emails, or all the emails. We'll empty the email cupboard.
Inbox. So, why didn't you just say inbox?
Yeah, inbox. That's probably the right word. We'll do that, and then we'll be back for a full like actual episode MSP 106 in 2 weeks. But I guess the email episode will come out like Saturday, Sunday, whatever. Yeah, yeah. It'll come out at some point.
Everybody have a great Thanksgiving.
Yeah, enjoy yourself, guys, and we'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
This has been a Stand Up Labs production, powered by Digital Media. Subscribe to new and archive episodes wherever you listen to podcasts, and find all of our shows at standuplabs.nyc.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
No, we out.